hands the Lord. Oh, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, and I am led and I am found. Lord, plant my faith on a higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, and
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Lord, lift me up.
Lord, lifts me up and lets me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher ground that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to scale the utmost high.
Though Satan starts at me around,
my faith has got the joyful sound.
The songs of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher ground.
To scale the utmost high,
though Satan starts at me around, though some may dwell where he's about, my prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Lord,
lift me up.
Ask God to lift me up.
And let me stand
on heaven's table.
Faith on heaven's table.
I have played.
That I have found.
Hallelujah.
Lord, plant my feet on high.
Father and our God, this morning, this is our cry. Higher plane, higher ground, the utmost height, that's where we want to come. Others may dwell where fears arise and where doubts dismay. Others may crawl around. Others may be satisfied with the valley. But for us, Lord, higher ground is our cry. Take us higher in the name of Jesus Christ. Plant our feet on higher ground in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, as we go on this morning, and as we turn to your word, that which will cause us to rise higher, that will make us to stand stronger, that will cause our roots to be deeper. Please bring us to it in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will open the word of God to us again. Let it be simple, Lord, such that we can catch what you are saying. Let it mix the faith in our hearts so that it can do us good. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all your servants that have been serving you in our midst. All those, O God, who have used to bring us the Bible study, and all those that you are used to lead us in workshops. And Father, we ask that in blessing you bless everyone. We pray, Lord, that your grace will be strong upon us even today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Find a good place to sit so that we can get going with the Word of God. Now, we are coming to the third of our exposition from our theme passage. And you will remember that yesterday in the evening, as we are looking at the second exposition of the theme, we were now focusing on verse 6 and verse 7. But we were very much focused on rooted, developing roots, roots that endure, roots that will make you conquerors, roots that will make you perpetual, roots that by the grace of God, it will make your fruitfulness to be everlasting, such that for many more years, even at old age, you will still be flourishing because you are planted in the court of our God. Now this morning, we are going ahead. We are still looking at being rooted in Christ and being built up in Him. But we now want to look at all the ingredients, all the parameters, all the provisions that God had made available for us to be able to be rooted, to be fruitful, to be established, unmovable in the presence of God. We're going to be looking at that very, very deliberately. And our passage that we're still going to draw from is coming from that verse 6 and verse 7, which we have been reading. But I will want you to read from verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. You will notice that we have been reading up to verse 10 without having space to start talking about them. But today, by God's grace, we'll see how God will lead us again. So let me read from verse 6 to 10. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And yesterday we were looking at what it will mean to walk in him. And we said, number one, it is to allow your life to be regulated by him, to allow his lifestyle to become your watchword. That when you are walking with a person, you keep in step with him. Where he stops, you stop. When he turns to the left, you turn to the left. When he turns to the right, you turn to the right. When he sits down, you find a seat around because you are walking with him. If he slows down, you slow down because you want to go with him. If he speeds up, you increase your speed because you want to go with him. So we saw, as we read that scripture yesterday, said, as you have therefore received Jesus the Lord, from the Amplified Version it said, so walk, regulate your lives. And then structure your own appetite, your own life, in conformity to him. What it means is that Jesus will become your pattern, your standard, the one that determines how you live, what you are doing. It determines what's your value and all of that. But this morning, I am much more focused on looking at what are the ingredients that will make you to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. What are the ingredients? What are the little things that I must keep doing every day in order to make me rooted? Those of you that have come through the Bible study this morning, you will see that God has already started speaking to us through the Bible study. So the Bible study we have gone through this morning is very important. In fact, if you did not sit in the study, since it is in your program booklet, I'd like you to take it up again. And sometime when we get back to our parishes, our localities, you can still take those Bible studies, isn't it? And go through it. In your small groups, you can sit down and go through those studies. They are very important and they are very relevant. And I would like you to don't just throw it away and say Joshua Generation 2026. No. Those Bible studies, they are well prepared and they are structured. And if you will take time and go through it again and again, it will give you that kind of thing that we are looking for. So I want to recommend to you that our studies must not be discarded after this meeting. Do you hear that? Eh? The Lord will bless you. Now, I would like us to now ask, you are here today to read for me. Your assistant read yesterday. Abby? Uh-huh. But now you can read. Now, I want you to help us set the passage, verse 6 and 7 from the Amplified Version. The reason why I used Amplified for this time is because it gives us some little analysis and amplification that we can build upon and start our study. Yes, sir. Colossians 2, 6 and 7.
As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, that is, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him.
Regulate your life. Take that again, sir.
Regulate your lives.
Yes.
And conduct yourselves.
And conduct yourself.
In union with.
In union with him.
And conformity to him.
And in conformity to him. Right, we dealt with that yesterday, so we won't go back there. Verse 7.
have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving.
Amen. You will keep helping me to note the verse 7 because we are taking it little by little. I ended yesterday by noting that when we talk of roots, when we talk about roots, we're not just talking about the root of the tree, even though we use the trees as our illustration yesterday. We are talking about the roots of your being. And that's the first emphasis I want to draw this morning. Your being needs a root. Your totality of existence needs a root. The root of your being, which means you are not supposed to be a floating person that has no root. You are not supposed to be someone that is swept away without any root. And the root of your being, that is, the basis where the resourcefulness of your being is derived, the anchors of your being, of your total personality. Now, every person must have a root. But you see, there are people that their root is in occultism. Are you hearing me? What is the root of their being is somewhere in occultism or in idolatry. So every resourcefulness that is coming to their lives is coming from the prince of darkness. No matter how they try, because the root of their life have been located, are you hearing me, in the things of the dark, in the power of darkness. Everything about them is regulated by that spirit. So that's why you meet people that for many, many years, no matter what they do, you see certain things that follow them. And you know that this is an evil signature of the kingdom of darkness on their life. The reason, because the roots of their being, oh my God, am I communicating with you now? Right from when they were born, the root of their being is planted in occultism, planted in the power of darkness, planted in idolatry. Such were some of our parents that were rooted in the kingdom of darkness. And so when you were born, that root was supposed to follow your life. But I want to tell you, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you have so received Christ, am I communicating with you? The first thing that God does to you is to uproot you. He must uproot you from that former root so that you can be replanted and have a different root, but in Christ Jesus. Oh my God, are you with me? Oh, I want to be sure you are following me this morning. Because this is technical. And because it's technical, you must catch it. If your root, the root of your being, was located in alcoholism, in drunkenness, even though you have grown up, you just discover that drunkenness follows that life. Your father may have died a drunkard. Your uncle is a drunkard. And suddenly, even though you are highly educated, you find that drunkenness is in your blood because of the roots where you take from. But what has God done in Christ Jesus? What is the mystery of our deliverance? I want all of you now to go back to the Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, just the first chapter. Because it is that chapter that brought us to the second chapter, isn't it? So go to chapter 1 now. And I want you to quickly look at verse 12 and verse 13. Please take note of that. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, according to qualified, I mean to Old King James, has made us meet. But other version will say, has made us qualified. Or has made us adequate, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who has done what? Who has delivered us? From where? From the power of darkness. And has done what? Has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's go over that again. Let's go over that again. And what am I saying? Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet, made us qualified, made us, you know, adequate to become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has done what? Delivered us. Is there any other passion that you can help us to check? What King James said, he has delivered us. Is there any other version that you can quickly check for me? Eh? He has NIV. What did he say? He has rescued us. I'm happy about that. Good news. He has set us free. Any other version? No other version? New Living Translation? He has enabled. How did Amplify put it? Eh? He has rescued. Is it the word rescued or delivered? He has delivered us. Now let's quickly, all of you, please. Please, look at me now. Can I have young men here? Please, come up here. Come up here. Let me have four of you here. Please come. Let's come to where men can see us. Let's come in. I would like you to stand inside this. Surrounding, join your hands and insist that he cannot go. Are you saying something? Where is this man? is in the power of darkness. Behind, in front, by the side, they are all there. And they are keeping him as a captive. And he has actually been rooted. He is not just ordinarily placed. He is actually rooted in the kingdom, in the power of darkness. Are you seeing me? Eh? Now the Bible says, for this man to be delivered so that he can be taken out of this domain of darkness, something happened. He said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, who has rescued. Now, so what does he mean to rescue? What will he do to rescue this man from his captors? Did you see what I've done to him now? Eh? Where is he now? Tell me, where is he now? Is he still in the midst of them? What has happened to those who captured him? Eh? He has been rescued. All right. Are you understanding? Now, for him to now be able to stand in the new place where God has brought him. Are you understanding? He has to be rooted here. We have to develop a new route to locate him here now. Go and stand where you are standing before. Stand and join your hands. Where is your captive? What happened? He has been rescued. By who? By the power that is powerful more than all your powers. Is that what happened? Can you catch him again? Why not? Because where he has been put, we cannot get there. Are you understanding that now? So let's read verse 13. Verse 13. Please help us read verse 13. You want to read it either from Amplified or from Old King James. King James would have been good for me. But whichever one you are reading, we can go ahead.
Amplified says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself.
Yes.
Out of the control and the dominion of darkness,
and the dominion of darkness,
and has transferred us.
Now, are you understanding what we're talking about now? He did not only do like this and do like this. What did he do?
It transferred.
In fact, actually, not just that he transferred by dragging. The old King James said he has translated. When you use translation, are you understanding? Translation means uprooted to be replanted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let me show you what did not happen. Stand in their midst again. Stand in their midst again. Are you seeing me? I wish you are able to see us. Now, this is the man we need to rescue. These are the powers that are standing against him. Let's imagine that, yes, we broke it like this. Though we broke it, where is he? He's still in their midst. Now, but the root is still there. The root has not been cut. You may pull him, but as long as the root has not been removed, he remains there. Anytime you lose your hand, where is he? When he wants to move, can you go anywhere? Can you go anywhere? Why? His feet is still stuck. His root is still in the kingdom of darkness. So the first thing the Lord did was not a stretching. It was not a mere pull. What did God do? He decided to translate him. And translation means you take from him. Did you see what we did? They took him. So when you go to where he used to be, what did you notice? He's no longer here. What happened to the ground where he stood? It has now been open, vacant. Somebody said, expose your name, sir. Where is Kelechi that used to be here? Eh? He has been translated. Did you see that his coordinate here, where his root was, has become vacant? Is that all right? He has translated us from the power, the dominion of darkness, and has brought us into, oh my God, can you read that for me? Old King James. Old King James. Yes?
He has. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness?
He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Have you seen that now?
And have translated us into the kingdom of
darkness. Translated us. He has carried us. I think another version says, he has conveyed us. Are you understanding? He has conveyed us. He has translated us by uprooting our roots and carried us into. Did you see the word into? Check it again. I want you to read so that the brethren can know the word into.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness.
And has translated us into the
into. Kingdom. Don't rush. I need you to emphasize the word into.
Translated us into.
Yes. You see, when they picked him out here, are you understanding? He was uprooted completely. His coordinates here have become empty. Am I right? Now, where did they carry him? They did not just put him nearby so that they can rush and capture him again. When he was translated, taken by coordinates, he was now carried to where? Into. Oh, I wish you had seen my drama here. That when they took him out here, they didn't say, try to walk out. Try to walk over. Because if it is like that, this wicked man, what would they do? They'll bring him back and say, where are you going? But the power that uprooted him from here. Are you understanding? First of all, dismantled all their own powers. Number two, he did not say, let's drag him. He translated him. Translated. Into. By the time he was landing in Christ Jesus, you heard a little noise. What is that noise? Doom. Into. Are you understanding now? As he got in there, they said, what has happened? They said, doom. Doom. And because he is now into, you can't trace him here again. If you are looking for him at all, you go now and be looking in Christ Jesus, where his life is now here. Hallelujah. 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 Here, absent. There, present. So whenever they are looking for my name, where I used to be rooted before, and they normally call roll calls. I hope you know they call roll calls in the kingdom of darkness. Eh? They said, Cecilia Achungwa, present, sir. Samuel Iwaka, present, sir. Sunday Ogunkunle, I'm still here. They are calling them, calling them, calling them. Then they came, they said, Kelechi, 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 Kelechi. What is the answer? Absent. He is no more here. He is no more here. Come and see where he used to be rooted. He was completely uprooted. Look at the ground. He's no more here. Where is he? Where is he? You know, in the kingdom of darkness, they say, we cannot say where he is, but we heard a noise when he was dropped. We only heard, what would they hear? Into. Ah! If you are looking for Kelechi now, he has entered somewhere, and the only noise we heard when he landed there was what? Into. Into. So he is inside now. Where is Kelechi now?
Into.
Oh, hallelujah. Hey. May your space in the kingdom of darkness become permanently empty. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your name be completely wiped out of their register. Oh, you are not saying amen enough. Oh. That when Satan will be making roll calls and he's calling them one by one, and others are saying, I'm still here, sir. I'm still here, sir. Where you rooted me in darkness, I'm still there. Where the principalities have been keeping me down, still there. When they call your name, can you call your name? Can I hear your name? And when they say, where is precious, 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 he said, no more. He's no more here. He's absent. They said, by what power? By what power? This man that we rooted in darkness for years, we planted him so that he will die here. What happened? Sorry. One power. Greater than our power. Greater than our power. Pushed us away. And then they uprooted him. But into Kelechi. Congratulations. Where are you now? Into. Into the kingdom of his years. I am not just at the periphery. That's the next thing we want to know. Because you will see as you keep reading that passage, being rooted in him. In him. Not just by his side. Not just near. But where? Into. Into. So if anybody now wants to look for Kelechi and get Kelechi, what will they do first? Who knows what they will have to do now? It means they will have to break through where Christ is. Eh? He said your life is where? Is hidden. Where? In Christ. In God. Into. So that's the first point we are noting. One root had been taken out. Amen. And a new root is being planted. But now, into Christ. Hallelujah. Would somebody quickly read that for us? Before we go away, Colossians 3 and verse 3. All these I'm dealing with, they are part of what must form the ingredients of your personal routine. Who is reading? Yes.
Old King James. For ye are dead.
You are dead.
And your life is hid with Christ in God.
And your life, you know, here, where you used to be, you are dead. Eh? As far as this world is concerned, you are already dead. But now, your life. Excuse me, where is Kelechi now, please? Eh? It's in Christ, in God. If anybody wants to assess Kelechi and say, I want to pull him out, what is the first Apulian task he will have to face now? How to break God. And how to, if you are succeed to break God, then you go and break Christ. And then you look at where Kelechi is into. You know, the way they describe it is actually inside. That's why we will send you out of this place by the grace of God, knowing that your roots have been uprooted from where it used to be, and you are being planted in Christ Jesus, developing another root. Hallelujah. All right, thank you very much. Thank you, brothers. I hope I didn't push you too much. And when you are holding something that is precious, you have to be pushed. That's how God pushes the enemy to get us free. Now you return back and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ, where your life, the root of your being, is now going to be located, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. All the accusations that the devil may want to put against you, the blood cancels it. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus redeems us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Can I go ahead from there? All right. So, we are now picking it little by little now. Have the root of your being. Can you pick it now? The Amplified Version. Have the root of your being. Yes? King James simply used rooted and beat up in him. But I wanted to read it from that for us. Have the root of your
being. In whom we have our redemption.
We have already moved away
through his
from blood. Colossians 1. We are back in Colossians chapter 2, sir. We are now in Colossians 2. And we are reading verse 7.
Praise have the roots of your being.
Yes.
Firmly and deeply planted in him.
Amen. Wait. Have the roots of your being. That is, every basis of your life now. No more in darkness. No more in your ancestral father's worship. You have been uprooted from there. Amen. Amen. So anything at all that they say, your father, dedicated you, your umbilical cord was buried under a river. And that's why whatever you do, your business will not succeed until you go back to where they bury your umbilical cord. What has happened to all of that place? Cancel. Uprooted. In fact, if they take your name before the shrine and they are saying, we are looking for Uzo Dima that was dedicated here. The grandfather dedicated him, even in his mother's womb, and said he's the one that will carry the family God. And we are told that he has gone somewhere, he went to school. We need him back here now. When they are calling your name, Uzo Dima, Uzo Dima, Uzo Dima, wherever you are, come back, come back, come back, come back, and they are making all incantation. If the demons will be honest, but they are not always honest. They will be pretending as if there's something there. If they want to be honest, say, don't worry yourself again. Uzo Dima has relocated. His roots have been cut away from here. He's now rooted somewhere else. And where he is, we have no access. No access. Every time we try to call him, we only see something that appears full of light. In fact, the more we look, we saw the face of the Son of God. That's where Uzo Dima is now seated. And there's no way you can call him home. You better forget about it. If you have another person you want to use, go and look for another person. For Uzo Dima, finish. That will be the report on your case.
Amen.
All the time from now on. Hallelujah. But before we leave that place, we are talking about the root of your being now planted in Jesus. Hallelujah. What it means when we say let the root of your being, you know, be planted firmly in him, is that there is nothing again you need outside Jesus Christ. My own root has been cut from the old space where it used to be. And now everything about me, the roots of my life now, the roots of everything around me now, are you hearing me? Is Christ. That's why I can sleep anytime, anywhere. Even if you carry me to a shrine and all the witches and wizards, they are gathering and beating their drum, beating their drum, beating their drum. They say, Bile Akani, Bile Akani, Bile Akani, Bile Akani, Bile Akani, Bile Akani. They will beat this drum. Whoa. They say, but why? Why are we not getting in? Why are we not getting in? They say, check his root. Whether his root is still here. They say, he is no more here. But where is he? Sir? He has been translated into that man of Calvary. That's where he is now. And all his roots is spreading inside him. We can't even get anywhere around him again. Amen. So what will you do now that you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness? Let the root of your being be firmly, completely, totally established in him. There's nothing to look for anywhere else. Jesus is enough for me. Before you go on, sir, I want you to run and read for us chapter 2. We're still in Colossians 2, but want to read verse 14 and 15. Because we are looking at what you must understand, what you must lay hold upon, so that your root in him can be deep. Yes?
Having cancelled and blotted out,
yes,
and wiped away,
uh-huh,
the handwriting of the note,
yes,
the bond with its legal decrees and demands,
with all its legal decrees and demands,
which was in force,
uh-huh,
and stood against us,
which stood against you,
hostile to us,
hostile to your progress.
This note with its regulations,
yes,
decrees and demands,
he
set aside.
God has set it aside.
And cleared completely out of our way.
And he has cleared it out of your way.
By nailing it to his cross.
And verse 15.
God disarmed the principalities and powers.
He disarmed principalities and powers.
That were raged against us.
That were ranged. You know, the word range will look like arrange. But range is a more technical word in warfare. You know what it means to range? That means you put at this level. If he escapes here, gun him down here. If by any means they miss him here, don't miss him here. And if at all something happens and he jumps, we will catch him up here. Are you understanding? That's how principalities and powers were arranged. So that at any point, you are not going anywhere. If you miss checkpoint number one, checkpoint two will catch you. If checkpoint one and two did not make it, checkpoint number three is waiting. And if checkpoint number three were dislodged, then you know what will happen now? The checkpoint number four is waiting and say, you think you have escaped? Well, see here, you are going nowhere. Now, the Bible said, the Lord Jesus on the cross, what did he do? He canceled all bond, all controversies, all arrangements that were made against us. He nullified it. He took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. He now went and engaged all the principalities and power that were ranged. Once I saw the word ranged, it means they were graded. Graded at every level of power. But all of them have been given an information. If Bileakani is coming, if he misses number one, number two catch him. If number one, number two should miss him, number three, get ready. Number four, get ready. And finally, number five. There's no way he can escape all these five installations we have arranged against him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what Jesus did? He did not only go to number one, he disarmed them. He disarmed number two, he disarmed number three, number four, number five, and brought all of them down and rendered them impotent and useless. But he did not just say, okay, Bileakani, come and walk through. He did not even say, I should walk through. What did he do? He conveyed me. He translated me into. Does anybody want to shout hallelujah for that?
Hallelujah.
That God is making everything possible for you to be rooted in Christ Jesus. So, please finish that passage and then we return to chapter 2, verse 7 that we're reading.
God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us.
Yes, sir.
And made a bold display and public example of them.
Yes, sir.
In triumphing over them in him.
Amen.
And in it, the cross.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, let's now look at our fresh planting where the root of your being must now be. The root of your life now, I want you to know, is no more in darkness. Do you agree to that point? The power and principalities don't have any right over you. Why? You have been uprooted from them and translated. But you are not to be floating in your new location. You are supposed also to be what? Rooted there. So, what are the things that God is asking us to? So, please, read that verse 7 again, because I want to use those few words from your King James, from your Amplified Bible, those few words to describe how we are going to be rooted. Because I will now begin to deal with what to do to be rooted. Yes, verse 7. Have the root of your being.
Having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him.
Firmly and deeply what? Planted. Planted in him. So, let's wait there. Let's wait there. Sit down. When I need you again, I'll call you. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. When we were in the kingdom of darkness, we were not loosely planted. We were firmly planted. We were firmly and deeply planted. Satan was not planning to lose you at all. If it is planted, how do we do it? Planted. How do we do it? Praise the Lord. The first thing to do, and I would like to refer to that from Psalm 92. Will you follow me to Psalm 92? Brother Peak, continue to be in your Amplified Bible as you go to Psalm 92. Now, in Psalm 92, and verse 12.
The uncompromisingly righteous,
yes,
shall flourish like the palm tree.
Shall flourish like the palm tree.
Be long-lived.
He shall be long-lived.
Stately.
He will be stately.
Upright.
He will be upright.
Useful.
He will be useful.
And fruitful.
And fruitful.
They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Yes, sir.
Majestic.
Stable. Stable.
Durable. And incorruptible.
And incorruptible.
Planted in the house of the Lord.
Planted in the house of the Lord.
They shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall flourish in the courts of our God. Let's wait there. We don't want to go to verse 14 yet. We just want to stay in verse 12 and 13, because we are talking about this root of your being. Where should it be planted? And the first place that I'm discovering the word of God is that let the root of your being be firmly and deeply planted in the courts of the Lord. Where did I say you will be planted first? In the courts of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. The roots of your being. The roots of your life. Let your roots not be located anywhere else. But where? In the courts. In the presence of the Lord. As a child of God and as a man who wants to grow and become formidable, who is going to stand like they are described in verse 12, like the palm tree and all of that, your roots must be planted where? In the courts of the Lord. in the presence of the Lord. Your life must be planted in the presence of the Lord. Now, the presence of the Lord, and I want you to know that honestly, there is what we call the pavilion of the Most High. In the presence where God Himself is, God wants you to have a root in His presence. God wants you to have a root in His presence. That at every point, your roots are extended to the very court of the Most High God. That is to say, you are not just floating outside here. Your root is in God. Your root is in Christ in God. And you are maintaining that root where? In the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that is why the prayer life that you need to maintain from here is not just because they say we should pray. It is because your own root, where you draw your own resources, where you draw your own strength, is from where? From where? From the presence of the Lord. Each one of you must become a man of the presence of the Lord. Let the roots of your being be firmly and deeply planted in Him. But when we use the word in Him, we are going on now to say in the presence, in the courts of the Lord. I know you normally sing that song. I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I, for He has made me glad. Thank you. While I enjoyed that song, and I love to sing it all the time, but I wanted you to know that what God is looking for is not an occasional entry. Are you hearing me? Even though David sang that song, but do you know the cry of his heart? The cry of his heart, you'll find it in Psalm 27. Can you read Psalm 27 for us? Verse 4, since we don't have the time. Psalm 27, verse 4, very quickly.
Thing have I asked of the Lord.
One thing have I asked of the Lord.
That I will seek.
And that will I seek.
Inquire for.
Inquire for.
And insistently require.
And insistently require.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord.
In His presence.
In His presence.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
To behold and gaze upon the beauty.
To behold and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord.
The sweet attractiveness,
uh-huh,
and the delightful loveliness,
amen,
of the Lord.
Amen.
And to meditate.
And to meditate.
Consider.
Consider.
And inquire.
And inquire.
In His temple.
In His temple. That was what David was looking for. He did not just want to enter the court of the Lord and go away. He actually wants to be what? Dwelling there. You know what I'm also desiring? Can I tell you what I'm desiring? I'm desiring to be able to have a seat in the presence. Let me see. So when you are inviting me to come and preach, where are you inviting me from? From this presence? of God. That's where. Every time. So when say, Billy, can you come and preach? I'll ask Baba, sir, they are asking me to carry you home to preach. Do you have permission to go? And will you actually go with me? He says, yes, but that meeting is not important. I would like you to sit here. We're still discussing. Tell them you cannot come. You understand? And then when another one, say, Father, another one is called. Say, yes, that's one we actually want you to go for. So go quickly and start that and come back. Are you understanding? So I go now. I finish. When I finish, I'm returning to where? To my sister. I say, sir, I have come back. And this is what happened. I know you were there. I say, yes. Okay, relax. Where is my dwelling place? In the present. That's where my roots are. That's where my own bases are. That's where I draw my nutrition. That's where I want to be located all the time. I don't just want to go there occasionally. You know, there are some of you, you come here occasionally when you have a problem. Can I tell you how you do? When Satan is chasing you somewhere, say, oh God, oh God, oh God, give me something, give me something, give me something, give me something. They are worrying me in Jesus' name. Amen. Baba said, he never stays. He never stays. He dashes, he dashes, he dashes, he dashes. His root is ever weak because he keeps uprooting himself and running away. That's why he's hot and he's cold. That's why there's nothing continuous with him. His root has not been planted here. Are you understanding? Eh? Have the root of your being. Family. Baba. Family. 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 Seated in the presence. It is from here the bishopric will be operating. It's from here. If anybody is coming to talk to you, they are talking to you. Where? In the presence of the Father. Even before they finish talking, you are saying, Baba, what is that man saying? He said, this bishop, we don't know him. Before you open your mouth, you already know what is in your heart. Where is he saying? Where does he dwell? What is the secret of his life? What is the root of his success? Where is the root of his being? In the court of the Lord. In the presence of God. How many of you would like to come there? You would like to go there and settle there? May God make it to happen. That's where you will be, and you will never know drought. That's where you will come from every time you minister, and you will never run dry. That is where, when you finish whatever you do as an assignment, you are running back home. This is home. Anywhere else, we only visit. Oh Lord, may it happen that Father will be our dwelling place. I hope you have read it all the time. Psalm 90 says, oh Lord, you are our dwelling place. Psalm 27 says, I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life. Psalm 23, when you finish reciting 23, it said, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall do what? Dwell. Where? In the house. Let the root of your being be firmly and deeply the courts of the Lord, in His presence. In His presence. That's where God wants to nurture this new plant. That's where God wants to develop it. And young people, listen to me. You can be there. It is from there you will marry. Are you understanding? Eh? That's where you will be seated and you will marry. If any man is coming to you as a young sister, are you hearing me? And he say, come out. You know, I love you. But where you are staying, I don't like that place. That place is too serious. Come, relax. I'll marry you out here. Then once a while, when we have problems, we can go there. Will you say yes to such a man? Huh? No way. No way. Anything that wants to uproot you from the present, there's nothing to do with it. Am I communicating with you? Anybody at all, any business, that every time you want to do that business, they are telling you that all this pray, you are saying, God, leave that. Let's face business. That's not a business to face. Because it wants to uproot. Excuse me, where is my own root, sir? Where is my root? In the presence of God. That's where I come from. That's where I draw strength from. That's where I get everything I get. And it's inexhaustible. You can be drawing from that, you will never run dry. Until you grow old, you will still be fresh. You will just be fresh. Because there, inexhaustible resource. Please, sir, I beg you, have your root, the root of your being. Where? Speak firmly. Don't move out at all. Everything you need will come. Baba will drag everything. Don't be too preoccupied as to cut away from here. And if a young man will hear me and begin to admire and aspire for that, then I can congratulate you already. I know that I will hear about you in the future. I know that you are going to grow and grow and grow and become perennial, because there we seek the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Can I ask us to go to Psalm 1, and see what we are talking about. Psalm 1, and if you read from verse 3, it will have been all right. Psalm 1, read from verse 3. You can read from verse 1, but I went verse 3 first.
And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water.
By the rivers of water.
Ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade.
It shall not fade.
Or wither.
No wither.
And everything he does,
yes,
shall prosper.
He shall prosper.
And come to maturity.
Amen. Amen. When you are planted by the river, sir, and that river is the river from the presence of God. So when I've been talking about having the root of your being, having the root of your being, having the root of your being in Him, we want to first note in His presence. There are too many passages that will help you to know that. Say, blessed is the man whose shelter is in the court of the Lord. So Psalm 84 spoke about that. But because all I wanted to do this morning is that as I'm releasing you, your root, the root of your being, when you say rooted in Christ, we mean rooted in the presence of Christ. Rooted in Baba's presence. Do all your transactions from where? From his presence. Hallelujah. Even when you are a student, carry your book to Baba's presence. You'll be surprised that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is here. There you will find direction. There you will find insight. There that research you have been looking for answers will break loose. Praise the Lord. Now, the second point in that Psalm 92, as we go from there, you will notice that he said they were planted in the court of the Lord. But then there's the second thing. And they were, I'm reading verse 12, verse 13, that those be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. The next, planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the body of Christ. Planted, hallelujah, in the midst of the brethren. You will grow well when you are planted in the house of the Lord. But before we talk of the house of the Lord, we first talk about the court, the presence. But as you dwell in the presence of God, the next place where your life will find expression is where? In the house. In the house. In the midst of God's children. To grow your roots very well, you'll be growing it in the midst of the brethren. Some people want to follow the word of God, but they're in the midst of thorns. There's that seed that fell in the midst of thorns. Even though they wanted to grow, what is happening to them? They have been choked and squeezed by thorns. God has done something in your life now. Don't go and locate yourself among the thorns. There are some people, friends, that you used to have, but they are thorns. They are choking. They will destroy your beauty. They will tear you apart. And they will suffocate your life. What did the Bible say? Say, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Is that not what the Bible said? Break up the fallow ground and sow not your seed where? Among thorns. The reason why this meeting over the years, as God is calling it, the purpose of it is that God will begin to raise a community of young people that are eager to become something for God. You are going to begin to have friends and relationships that causes your personal growth in the Lord to be enhanced. You are going to be receiving everything that God is releasing to your life, but not among thorns. For your life to grow well and for you to be deeply rooted in what God has called you to do, praise the Lord, you must dwell not among thorns. You don't need to go and make friends with those who are enemies of Christ. Enemies of the cross. When you are praying and you are praying, you are praying, you are praying, that lady comes around. Say, oh boy, now prayer will go in. I love you, but I don't like the way you are squeezing your face all the time. I want a jolly, jolly person. So that when we are moving together, and you don't even have eye to see somebody's beauty. And I dress fine so that you can see. But you are doing like this. Like this. Jesus, Jesus, what's the meaning of that? Come down. Let's face reality. Who is that girl? Who is that girl? Who is that girl? It's a thorn. Planted to tear your life down. He did not love you. He's planning to tear you and destroy your beautiful garment. What do you do to that thorn? Talk to me. What do you do about it? Cut it off. He said, are you cutting me off? Say, yes. You are a thorn bush around my life. And I'm going somewhere. Thorns are meant for fire. I can't go with you. You're so serious. Yes, I cannot be less serious. I'm going somewhere that you don't know. Praise the Lord. Plant this new life, not among thorns, not in the midst of those that are not passionate about God, about His word in your life. You will grow in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, what is the next ingredient that will make you grow well? Please return back to our passage that we have been studying. And that passage is said, have the root of your being. Brother Pick, chapter 2, verse 7. The Amplified is the word you are bringing for us.
Yes, sir.
At the root of your being. Yes.
Firmly deeply planted in Him.
In Him.
Fixed and founded in Him.
Fixed. Fixed and founded. When they use the word fixed, that means immovable. That means permanent. That means you can't shift it again. It's fixed. Fixed. And what is it that fixes a man's life? What is it that will fix your life? Fix your conviction. Fix your persuasion. And fix your personal walk with the Savior. And I would like to begin to introduce to you the Word of God. The Word of God is God's comprehensive equipment that makes a man to be fully, fully established, and he will be immovable. When the Word of God has come unto a man's life, it will hold you, it will make you steadfast, it will keep you. And it will establish you. Let us first, because we are in Colossians, let's read Colossians 3 very quickly. And you will read for us verse 16. That's it. We just take that from Colossians before we go anywhere else. Let the word of Christ, I read first in the King James, let the word of Christ dwell. How? Richly, not sparingly, not casually. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, in all wisdom. This is a very important verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Means in every understanding, let the word of Christ dwell richly inside of you, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Yesterday I was reading my Bible for myself, and I was again very overwhelmed when Jesus said, whosoever feeds on my flesh and drink my blood, that's the man that will live by me. So I was saying, Lord, how do I feed on you? Then I saw him say, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. It's something you can actually feed on. You can feed on Jesus by feeding on his word. You can feed on Jesus by becoming very, very excited about the word of God. So I found people like Jeremiah said, thy words were found. And I did what? I ate them. Job said, your word is more in my mouth than my necessary food. I ate your word. And I was saying, yes. When a man has learned to eat God's word and eat it continuously, nothing else will manifest in your life apart from Christ's life. So, how are you going to make your root in Christ to be firm, to be fixed, to be ever growing? It is by the word of God. Not the word of God in the Bible. The word of God in the Bible must be transferred to where? To your heart. Say, let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell richly where? In you. In all wisdom. In all wisdom. And I have found from my own years of experience that this thing is inexhaustible. The more I have come to the word of God every time, the more it's so fresh, it's so new, it's so releasing, and very, very succulent. When you start eating the word of God, you don't want to eat anything else. May God give you appetite for the word of God. May you be voracious with the word of God. Hallelujah. May the word of God become like honey in your mouth. May you begin to savor and salivate for the word of God every time. That each time you're just saying, let me just find God's word. When the word of God becomes such a delight to your soul, when it becomes a joy to your heart, when it's your joy to meditate day and in day and night, something is happening to you. Even if people don't know, something will be happening. Your life will begin to radiate the glory, radiate the power of God, and wherever you go, the word of God. Richly. So, can you read it for me now from the Amplified Bible, verse 16? 16 quickly.
Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah,
yes,
have its home.
Have its own
in your hearts and mind.
Amen. Amen. Let it do what? Have its hold. What does it mean for something to have a hold on somebody? Oh, let it have its home. Let it have its home. My Lord Bishop, did you hear that? Let the word of Christ have his home, have his domicile here. Let this become the home of the Word of God. As you are moving about, let the Word of God be Lugu, 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 Lugu. They say, what is that? I say, the Word of God. If somebody scratch you like this, what will come out? The Word of God. If you open your mouth at all, what will come out? The Word of God. When they say, can you make one contribution? They are talking generally. When you want to open your mouth, what comes out? The Word of God. They say, you don't even know more than the Bible. You say, what else? If you cut me into pieces now, what you only find is what? The Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell, make his home richly in you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In your hearts and minds.
In your heart and your mind.
And dwell in you in all its richness.
Let the Word of God dwell in you in all its richness.
As you teach and admonish.
Yes.
And train one another.
Amen.
In all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so difficult to run away from here. Bro, may this thing happen to you. All I'm looking for is when I meet you, some time to come. And you know what is beautiful about Joshua generation is that you are very dynamic. Sometimes I'm in the airport. Somebody will just come. Joshua generation. Joshua generation. I say, yes, yes, yes. I hope you are fine. He say, yes, sir, we are moving, we are moving. Some of you are sitting here today. The next place we may meet you is somewhere in Canada. Yes. Yes. It's because this fire will spread all over the nations of the earth. It will capture lands and nations. But what must you carry? The Word of God. That has found its home inside of you. That has found its dwelling place. That every time your mouth opens is the Word of God. Every time you want, even when you need to contribute in academic circles, there is the Word of God that releases, I think you read there, all the intelligence, all the wisdom. Can you read it again? Because people may think that when we talk of the Word of God, we're only talking about when we come to church. No. Yes, sir.
In all insight and intelligence.
In all insight and intelligence.
And wisdom.
And wisdom. So you see, God's Word is relevant in every branch of life. In economics, in pharmacy, in history and government, in politics, everywhere, the Word of God has supreme insight and intelligence. But when you don't know it enough, when it has not made a home in your heart, do you know what happens? When you get to the midst of those people, as they are talking high language, you say, I've only been reading my Bible. I don't know anything like this. So you sit down there as a mere novice. This morning, the Word of God will dwell in your heart. Thank you, my brother. With all wisdom, all insight, all intelligence, all research discovery, God's Word will fill your heart and fill you with wisdom, and you will never be a novice anywhere in the name of Jesus Christ. So that whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, go back to verse 7. Colossians 2:7. I'm only drawing issues where we are going to conclude. Praise the Lord. Now, rooted and built up in Him. Now, the next word is established. Can you pick it for us?
Have the roots of your being.
Have the root of your being.
Firmly and deeply planted in Him.
In Him.
Fixed and founded in Him.
Fixed and founded in Him.
Being continually built up in Him.
Being continuously. There is one word there that I wish I can talk about. It is a continual growing. I told you yesterday that roots never stop growing. Did I say that yesterday? Roots, even big trees, they are still shooting down their roots. This new life, this Christ in you, never will stop growing. Even when you have become a great pastor, you have become an evangelist and everybody is looking for you, the roots of your being must never stop shooting down. The roots where you are drawing your own nutrient from must keep shooting down, shooting down, shooting down by the grace of God. Now it says, firmly, continually being built up in Him. The word continually is a very important word here, not intermittently. All the time, everywhere, every time, you are being continually built up in Him. Praise the Lord. Are you with me to that point? Now, brother, now go to the next point.
Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith.
Amen.
Just as you were taught.
Amen. Before you go to the way we are taught, being increasingly more confirmed
and established.
And established. Oh, I'm praying that more and more, day after day, you are getting more and more continually being established, being confirmed. Your faith is being confirmed every day. Your commitment to Christ is being renewed. And your personal conviction to follow Jesus, to follow His word, to grow in this life, is continually increasing. Amen. And finally, as you have been taught. Yes, read it for me.
Just as you were taught.
As you were taught.
And abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving.
This is the last point that verse raised. And I thought it is also the good point where I can conclude. You see, this life must transcend that we came for a meeting. It must grow to a point where even inside of you yourself, as you have been taught, you are doing what? You are abounding. You are abounding. You yourself, you are developing more and more of your own study. And you are becoming more and more, not just abundant, but you are abounding. Abounding, hearing. You are not just peripheral. You are growing. You are developing. As you are studying the Bible, as you are, you know, sharing. You know, we read the other time, he said, making melody in your heart, singing in hymns, songs, psalms, sharing one another. It's not only these singers that should be singing psalms. How many of us should be singing psalms? And that's why I love the Anglican Church. Are we still singing psalms? Eh? Every Sunday, there should be a psalm that we sing. You call it chant. Very important. Those are the peculiar heritage that Anglican must not lose. You hear what I'm saying? Eh? If an Anglican man is about to die, what he needs, just come and sing psalms to him. he will wake up. He will be renewed. You will see him tapping his leg again. Because that thing just enters into him. When we learn psalms in those days and we sang it, it is not just for mere form. People think that it's a mere form. No. When you internalize the word of God to the point that you can sing it, you can create a tune for it, it becomes you. Even though many of you are running away from liturgical services, this is not mere liturgy. It's the wisdom of our Father. Get all our young people to sing psalms. Very important. It establishes them. It fills them. When a challenge comes, others are shouting. You just see that sister, that brother, just bringing out a song. And as he's singing the psalm, something happens. The power of the word of God. So, in all your desire, Anglican priests and our bishops, please help me. I'm begging you now. Even though I should not have begged you to do what you know how to do. But I'm begging you now. Don't think it is dryness or dead service. Are you hearing me? To forget the singing of songs. Singing spiritual songs. I know we now like to dance and clap hands and all of that. I don't mind. When you give 20 minutes for that, ask everyone, let's stand up and sing psalms. And then there are psalms that we have already programmed for every Sunday. Am I correct? Allow us to sing it. By the time we are singing like that, you will see that the church is lively. So I went to this Anglican church after the praise worship, after all the singing band, feel everything. Oh, we stood up to sing psalm. How beautiful it is. And when we train our boys, they will also know how to bring music to our psalm. Are you understanding? How wonderful it is that you stand up and as we are singing psalms, there's a small music that's going on with it, and yet we are singing the word. Psalms is better than me. I no go suffer. I no go pay for bread. No. No. If you go into Psalms, you will see that in Psalms, all the things you are talking about, he said, I've been young and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the children beg for bread. That's one psalm. If we sing that, you know that that is better than all the ones that they just compose of head. Singing spiritual songs and psalms, admonishing one another in the word of God. When you do that, you are abounding. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. It is not a mistake that we were Anglicans. I want you to know that now. We are not misplaced by being Anglicans. God has put a great heritage in our midst. When I look at several churches, I have not found churches where the word of God is heavily entrenched. As in the Anglican church. I hope you know that in a normal service, no matter how short you want that service to be, we must read at least 4 portions of scriptures. 4 portions. Even if the preacher is not preaching anything, just read scriptures. Something has happened already. We must ensure that these are heritage that will make us strong, formidable. We must not omit it in our growth. The Holy Spirit is coming. The anointing is coming. We are going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But it does not take away our songs, our hymns, our psalms, our liturgy. God will bless it. And priests, God has ordained you and anointed you. How wonderful it is that you stand on the pulpit and you bring biblical exegesis from one of the psalms we just sang. Do you know how blessed it will be? You don't need to stop looking for anything. When I used to go from one Anglican church to another to preach, because I know that is the churchman's book. Are we still using the churchman's book today? And in the churchman's book, every Sunday, the scriptures to read, the songs to sing, the psalms to sing, and they may even suggest a theme to preach. You understand? Me, I just go to church and say, give me churchman's book. I just speak it. They say, have you prepared before? Have you prepared before? I say, I'm always prepared. You know why? Those are things they were not carelessly put. The fathers that wrote it, I believe they are so spiritual. It's just that those of us interpreting it, we have not entered their spirit. That's why it has become dry. As the Holy Spirit is coming, all the resources that God has put in our church for growth, let's use it. Let's engage it. Are we together? Go and get your own churchman's book. You don't say, I don't know where to do my quiet time. The churchman book, honestly, gives you portions to read every day. Every day. Every day. There's no day that there's no portion to read and to study. Well, I stop here. According to what God has shown us, that you will be abounding daring with thanksgiving, with joy in your heart, thanking God that you belong to Jesus. Thank you very much. We'll stop at this point this morning and ask you to bow your head as we pray together. Would you like to rise on your feet? Let's lift up our hands to God. Say, I will grow. I will develop. I will dwell in the presence of the Lord.
I will dwell in the presence.
My roots that have been relocated from the kingdom of darkness shall now grow in the court of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, in the power of his word, and in the midst of the fellowship of the brethren, engaging scriptures, engaging songs, engaging psalms, engaging spiritual songs, every blessed day of my life, in the name of Jesus. Would you like to lift up your heart and let's pray together? Let's pray together. Let's call on God this morning. Let's say, Lord, here am I. My life will not be a waste. You have started something in my heart, and I want to grow it. I want to grow it. I want to walk in this reality. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day the Lord has made. A new thing is beginning in our midst. God is moving in his power again. Let me see you say to God, you have brought me out of the dominion of darkness, and you have brought me into the kingdom of your dear son. And so, Lord, this morning, as I stretch forth my heart, lock me inside, Lord. As you drop me into, in Christ, in God, I want to grow thereby. I want to increase thereby. I want to walk in his reality. Thank you, Father. Let's pray together. As a priest, can you please renew your faith, renew your commitment, renew your ordination. God has ordained you for this assignment. And heaven is saying, I have decided to move in your midst. I've decided to walk with you. Hallelujah. again this morning as we want to conclude. I sense the Lord took a much time at the beginning of this exposition this morning to talk about being uprooted from the kingdom, from the domain, from the roots of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of his dear son in Christ Jesus. It is true that some of you, the root of your life was steeped in idol worship, in occultism. Some of you have been afraid to go home because they said there's something they have said concerning you that will not let you make progress. This morning, he who uproots men from the kingdom of darkness has come to uproot and translate you and replant you. And this morning, we are going to effect it again. And so, as we are going to pray, I will offer a word of prayer. Our fathers are already standing to help us hold God's hand this morning again. And what we are going to request, as I call, as our bishops, our archbishops, our fathers in God, we stand along with our primate this morning. It is time again. You have been sitting in this meeting, and you now realize that, the root of my life has been put in that darkness. That's why you are dreaming terrible dreams. That's why anything you try to do scatters before you know it. For Jesus went to the cross to nullify it, to destroy it, and to release you and replant you in his own very presence. If you are hearing the word of God and the Holy Spirit saying, so this is the matter. So this is why I have struggled for years. Some, they said in your family, every other person can marry, but you will not marry because you were dedicated to a particular spirit. Any man that comes near you, something just throws them away. This morning, by the word of the Lord, that root is being destroyed. And a new root in Christ is being planted for you. We are praying. Are you sitting there? You just don't know why, no matter how you try. Your own root takes you back to drunkenness. Even when everybody thought you are free, you are still taking ogogoro somewhere in the secret. And all your money has scattered. This morning, Jesus has come to take you out by force and replant you in the kingdom of his dear son. So I'm going to give room one more time. Let it not be that you came for Joshua's generation, and when God was moving, breaking the yokes, destroying roots, and replanting others, something blocked your eyes and you did not respond. It must not happen like that this morning. So if this morning, as you lift up your right hand and say, Lord, I've heard your voice, and I have known that it's me you are talking about, and I've known that I'm going to be replanted. I'm going for a replanting in the court of the Lord this morning. We don't have too much time anymore, but you have enough space to stand where you are. I've seen your right hand lifted. Please now just take your Bible, and if you're a lady, carry your bag and just walk straight. Because today, every handwriting that was written against you, every ordinance that was promulgated against you, everything that stood on your way, as we read in Colossians chapter 2, it shall be blotted out. And you are going to walk away from here, replanted in a different place, into the kingdom of his dear son. As we take that little song, please give us a song, sir. And then those that want to step out, those that have raised up their right hand, those that are saying, Lord, so today I am being translated. I'm being transferred from the domain of darkness, domain of struggle. You don't know, say, so that's where my roots are. Some family, you are rooted in barrenness. Your senior brother barren. Your senior sister is married somewhere, is barren. And they are telling you that you also will be barren. No way. That root in your life is destroyed today. God is replanting you in the kingdom of his dear son. If you are coming, please move fast and lift up your right hand and say, Lord, my root is changing. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Let's do that quickly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Lord Jesus. If you are up there and the Lord is saying, today just go down and give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to him. Thank you. Thank you. If you are coming, you must move fast. Because we have something else to do.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Please come quickly. Come down quickly. Hallelujah. If you are coming from behind, please come down. Please come down quickly. God bless you this moment.
Is one with us, and you are coming.
Let your hand be lifted to heaven. And you are saying, Lord Jesus, it's a translation that is taking place this morning.
The root of my being.
I'm no longer going back to that old root. Every root not planted in God, the axe is laid on it. God is cutting it down. But you are going to walk replanted in him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you. Thank you. Please come in. How will I know that you are coming? Just lift up your right and say, Lord, to you I come.
Breathe on me.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Your hand must be lifted above. Let your hand be lifted. Even as you are coming, keep waving that right and say, Lord, it's me. It's me coming. It's me, oh Lord, coming. Young man, if you are coming, let your hand be waved to the Lord. Are you coming here, sir? Are you coming here? If you are coming, please do that quickly now. Breathe on me, Lord.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
That thing that normally takes you back.
Fill me with life.
Even there are preachers. Because their root is still in immorality. No matter how they go, immorality will bring them down. That root is going to be cut here today. And you'll be rooted in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are coming here, please move very fast. We cannot wait again. If you are coming here, move very fast. Please run quickly. If it's here you are coming, my friends, let me see your hand lifted and say, to you, Lord, I come. To you, Lord, I come. Thank you, my friend. To you, Lord, I come. Your right hand above your head, I say, Lord, to you, I have come. And don't be lost in the crowd. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, those sisters. Just make sure. Sister, please come. We are going to make pronouncement this morning again. And this morning we are breaking roots. We are breaking roots. Things that have rooted and made your life stagnant. The axe is laid on the root of everything. He said, whatsoever my father did not plant shall be cut down. But not only that it will be cut down, God is going to translate you. He's going to not only uproot you from there, he will replant you. Planted in the court of the Lord. Hallelujah. Friend, is it here you are coming? Please run and let your hand be stretched and say, God, to you I have come. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. And that sister, God will help you. Just move very fast. Move very fast. Thank you, young sister. If you are coming and nothing is wrong with your leg, run. Just run. Just run to God. Run. Today is a day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever has been your state, even if you have been, you know, a lecturer, but the root of your being has continued to prevail over your life. That root is to be cut this morning. I can see the axe in the hand of the Savior coming on the root of that tree, cutting it down and taking you out and replanting you into the kingdom of his dear son, where you are going to have fresh virtue, fresh life, fresh power, fresh beginning. If you are coming, those young ladies, let me see you run quickly. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Young men, please run quickly. Thank you, dear sister. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This morning, what you are doing, oh God, in our midst, a replanting, a rerouting, a resetting in the presence of God. Now, why these people are coming out and they are stretching for their hand to God, and if you are yet to join them, make sure you are here. Sister, if you are coming, run quickly, because the prayer we are going to pray will cover you right away. Now, but there are yet others. You have been intermittent. You don't know how to dwell in the presence of God. So your growth had been zigzag. You rush away. Only when you meet challenge, you run back. Will you say to God, this morning, renew me. Renew my heart. I want to dwell in your presence. I don't want to go anywhere again. I want to be in your hand. Lord, help me this morning. This morning. Thank you, Jesus. If some of those men are coming here, you need to run right away. We cannot have you come sluggishly anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as you are coming, please take your life in your right hand and hand it to Jesus. Hand it over to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Go ahead. Jesus. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Make sure you run here and let your right hand be above your head. And say, Lord, put the axe on the root of wickedness that has kept me down, that will not allow me to be what you want me to be. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
joy.
Are those ladies, are they coming here? You need to run. You need to lift up your two hands and say, God, to you I have come. Lord, to you we have come. To you, O God. Don't let the door be closed against me. Don't let the door be locked against me. Thank you, young lady. Are you coming from that end? Run, run quickly. And say, Lord, my life must not be left behind. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. The Holy Ghost is going to come on your life in a new way today. Zima Rukoshe. Lay hands on that young man. Every form, every oppression is cut over your life today. The root that was laid for your life, contrary to the word of God, is broken here in the name of Jesus. Broken in the name of Jesus. Baruka Shanto Robos Kamara Mashiria. Heri Mama 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 Sando Robos. Just lay hands on his head on our behalf. One of you lay hands on his head. Everything that is contrary, we check it out. In the name of Jesus. The power of your might. That young girl, you need to run quickly. Enter into the sun. Thank you, Jesus.
And in order, I need no other arguments.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, young man,
Jesus died
for me,
and that he died for me. I need no other.
One more prayer, just one more. Thank you, sir. We will take that song later. But Baba Primate is going to be leading us now again. That sister, you are just coming. Lift up your two hands and say, Lord, I have come. I have come. Everything not planted by God that have formed the root of my life from this morning, put your axe on it, O God. Cut it off. Replant me. Translate me. The root of wickedness, the root of poverty, the root of barrenness, all such roots that were standing on your life before now, this morning, we break it in the name of Jesus. The axe has come. Taruka Samba Roboshinda Karuba Basara. This morning, the power of darkness, we check you out in the name of Jesus. Sari Bashanto Robosku. Baruba Baba Santo Roboshi. Zema Rabashi. Holy Spirit, as the word of God comes through your servant, break the yokes. Destroy the yokes. Destroy the yokes. In the name of Jesus. Hori Boshi. Thank you, Father. Now, those two hands, as you have lifted it up, now lay it on your head. What we should have done is to lay hands on you one by one. But as we offer the word of authority, the word of deliverance, translating you, there's a translation taking place this afternoon. God will take you out. Your roots will be uprooted from there, and you'll be replanted in Christ Jesus. After this morning, they will look for you in those old places. No one will find you again. Where they oppressed you before, you'll be absent. Now in the kingdom of God, you will have your space, where you will reign, where you will walk in liberty, where the Spirit of the living God will become your life. Thank you, Father. Those whom the devil held shackles on their legs and say, you will not go, is broken right away. In the name of Jesus, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to break every yoke around your life now. In the name of Jesus. Shanta Yabakoro Boshiri. Baba.